Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Bellingham podcast. We hope this message will be informative, inspirational, and helpful. Donations to support this work are greatly appreciated. Visit www.cslbellingham.org and click on the donate button. Remember to share our podcast. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Kalish Leviel, and in case I forget, I've got several opportunities to figure it out. And this month we're celebrating all parts of ourselves, and so I thought my pronouns for this month would be we and us. So join me in looking at the ways to request prayer. I'm your prayer practitioner for the day, and anybody wearing one of these, like Joanne and myself, and that's it for the moment, are available to pray for you. Just corral us after the service, and we'll be happy to do that. In addition, you can request one online. And speaking of online, I wanted to make a special note today of we have a prayer practitioner library. The prayer library website is available for prayers all the time, 24/7. All you have to do is go on, and there's a wealth of them, over 30 or so, and they're in different categories. So whatever you're looking for, you can find it there. So right now, let's take a moment to join me in knowing that we're here now. Breathing in and breathing out. We know there is only one infinite presence that is our source, that is deep in our center and expands out from us, through us, to each other. And in this moment, we open our hearts and our minds to the messages that are so clearly coming through Reverend Frank and being here with us today and welcoming each and every person, each and every chair, each and every everything. This moment here is good, is blessed. And I thank you, sweet spirit. And so it is.
Reverend Frank is a New Thought minister ordained through Unity Worldwide Spiritual Institute, and he is now the minister at the Unity Spiritual Center of Bellingham. His passion is inviting and connecting people into community and sharing joy, wholeness, wonder, and the unfolding of our sacred journeys. Frank leads from a perspective that begins with the inner path of awakening to our true selves, where we all get to marvel at the myriad ways our lives outpicture into wholeness, joy, and living authentically. And, just as an addition, Frank and his wife Diane have lived in Bellingham since 2021, and they love it here. So, we're glad you're here, Frank. I heard this talk, and you're in for a real treat. Thank you.
I'm Reverend Frank. There we go. My pronouns are he, him. My ancestry is Irish and German. And we're going to end this talk today by saying a prayer for anger. I'm curious, has anyone ever said, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to pray and I'm going to call in the divine principle, the divine energy, the divine properties, the divine resonance of anger? Yeah, let's try something new. My sources for this talk today come from, well, primarily from a tradition called Kashmir Shaivism. It's a little new to me, actually. But oftentimes, and I want to reflect that my tradition is Unity and the New Thought Movement. And in 1893, the founders of Unity, Myrtle and Charles Fillmore, they went to the Parliament of World Religions. When they were there, they met a teacher. His name was Vivekananda. And so they really brought in this energy that they started seeing from the East, that they found, wow, this really is resonating. What we've been learning, what we've been doing, what the New Thought Movement, what this non-dual energy, this oneness, wholeness, allness, consciousness. And then they went, wow, there's people been talking about this in the East. And you could see in the archives, when you look at a lot, oh, and by the way, I try to see, did Ernest Holmes maybe go to this conference too? 1893, he was 6 years old, so probably not. But a lot of those New Thought people at the time were at this conference. And when you look at some of the literature, like the original website from the 1900s. Yeah. Okay, so maybe it was the correspondence that you could see. They had, but if you could see like what they were promoting in their outreach material was books, and a lot of them were the great New Thought teachers, which a lot of us will know, you know, Emma Curtis Hopkins and Emily Cady and Troward and all the folks that were, you know, very popular at the time. They also had a lot of material from the transcendentalists like Emerson. They also had a lot of material from the East like Vivekananda and their understanding of this Vedantic tradition. And something that was around then, but none of them really knew at the time, which has become more, I've become more aware of this tradition. So I'm going to say it's in the New Thought tradition, because in this play of this dance of consciousness and what we're understanding about wholeness and about non-dual thinking, there is this energy of tantric or Kashmir Shaivism. Which basically, what I love about it is it's a movement of oneness, of non-dual, of wholeness. But what's different, or maybe unique about this tradition, is that it says, because sometimes there's this energy that says, well, there's just the one, and we're just these one spiritual beings, and so basically the world is an illusion. That sort of thinking's out there. But in this tradition, it says, yeah, but we manifest as divine, expressing as us. And therefore, everything about our humanity, about our showing up in the material consciousness, everything about not only the Shiva, but the Shakti is the language, there's a divine energy, there's a divine spark in the materialness of it all, in this property of showing up as beings and material beings on this planet as we understand them. When we know we say material beings, this is all a lot of movement of energy we perceive as material. But all of that is sacred. All of that is holy. All of that is part of this oneness. That just resonates with me so much. The sacred journey of our humanity. It feels very aligned with the wholeness. Seeing that the Christ in you, seeing the oneness in you, seeing the presence in you. It's all this divine play. So we talk about in Unity, in New Thought, and CSL, this sense of oneness. And then, I'm at a meeting. There's a few of us gathered. And one person mentioned that they were really angry about some stuff that was going on in the world. Can you imagine? You might guess what it was about. And you would have thought that the others in the room were about to call 911. Oh my God, they're angry, you know, life support. And the energy flew out. It's like, you can't be angry. There's, you know, maybe we should practice forgiveness. You got to get past that anger, get to love. And, you know, it's this whole, and I thought, you know, I have to admit, I really thank you, Reverend Abigail, for working with me and doing this. You know, Reverend Abigail is over at Unity today. You guys knew that I'm here. And I was on a different track totally. And then she said, yeah, we're doing anger this month. And I went, okay. And I had this bit of a struggle, to be honest, because I went back into the archives, and, you know, as I do when I do a talk, I'm like, well, what did Butterworth say? What did the Fillmore say? What, you know, well, how can I look through some of our traditions? What did Holmes say? And find out about, you know, what we said about anger. And it seemed to me, especially some of my research, that there's always this sense of like, well, you're angry, but let's somehow move past it into something else. Okay, we don't want to be there. We want to be here. We, you know, we want to go to joy and love and peace and harmony. But anger, fear? Here's a funny one. Disgust? Nobody wants disgust. It's kind of like this, though. You might think this is a fly fishing rod, but it's not. It's an exploration of our feelings that we're not being aware of. And yeah, it's kind of works that way. And so here it is. I go, you know, I know. I'm going to put my fly on there that says, be angry. And I'm going to cast it over there. I'm going to bounce it off your nose. Or be mad, you know. Be disgusted. And can you imagine this anger thing? It's like, and how much do we get this, like, in our culture? You know, in your family, relationship, communities, the news, YouTube, bouncing that little fly of, are you angry? Did I hook you? Are you angry yet? Did it get you mad? And then we bite. And so sometimes we talk about these emotional levels. And what I want to suggest is that, and I think we know this, this is a reminder, is that between this impetus, this fly bouncing off our nose, and my choice to respond, there's a gap. You know, maybe it's the gap you call, that input comes in and you go, just a minute, And on the outside, it may look like this all happens in just a second. But inside, it could feel like it really extends. That impetus comes like, oh, I know what you want from me. But I think I'm going to go, give it some space before I decide how I am going to choose to respond. Let me give you an example. I'm just language, you know, the I am consciousness. We say this one, I am. The truth of our nature, I am. And then sometimes it's that fly hits the nose, and now I am angry. What if it's just I am, and in my field I see something that I want to address, and there's this power, there's this resonance, there's this really sacred energy called anger, and I'm going to choose to use it in this place right now. I'm going to choose to use that beautiful power of anger. Really? Yeah, using the anger. Using the power of... And we can do all this. And in this tradition called Kashmir Shaivism, they have this this sense that of how we deal with these emotional states that are called rasas. R-A-S-A-S. And the beautiful thing about a rasa is it's not the emotion itself, like, I'm angry. It's the ability to take that emotional energy and look at it in its sublime aesthetic, its sublime beauty, its essence as it is. One of the rasas is love. I thought, what would the... So I have some ideas here. Sweet pineapple juice. If I was to say, what's the drink of love? Nice, sweet pineapple juice. I'm making these up, but I just thought, what? You know? And then there's also, like, for example, sorrow. Something salty, like lots of electrolytes, salty electrolytes in a Gatorade, right? That'd be my juice for that. Maybe if I was, here's the rasa of being afraid, fear. It's a real, you know, dark, bitter, medium roast coffee. But do you like it? Yeah. This is good too. Wait. But no, not fear. We want to go. We want these. But this is delicious as well. When it comes to anger, I picked this one. Zero sugar ginger beer. Do you know that one? Can you imagine the taste of this? Here, I'll leave it out if you want to try. It is like spicy. Whoa! Anger has in this concept of rasa. Each of these emotions has its own essence, has its own flavor, has its own taste, and spells like sabor. You know, there's something to it that's just awesome. And they're not all the same. You can think in anger, you might think of something that is has red peppers or, you know, like a pepper or spice or ginger or garlic or onion, that pungent kind of stuff. And in the end, the one that brings them all together, this is just me, banana. It's the ninth rasa. In the tradition, they used to have eight, and someone said, well, what about peace? And calm. It's almost like if you had a crystal and just the clear light goes in. That's like peace and tranquility, it's calm. But throughout the rasa, throughout that crystal, there's all these other flavors and colors and textures. And they're not right or wrong, or good emotional energies or bad emotional energies. They're all an expression of the one energy. Even anger. One of my teachers, Reverend Tony Baim, she talks about this notion of conscious neutrality. Conscious neutrality. I thought about that for a while. It's like, I don't want to be neutral. I want to be all fired up. It's like, yeah, but conscious neutrality is when in my consciousness things come to me and I don't just respond or react quickly. It's like that fly on the nose. It's like, I am aware. I am. And now all these energies are mine to use. What was that quote Ernest Holmes says about the one principle God says, now use me? Use me. Use it. Use this energy. It's like all of these energies, these states, are available to us. Now, I want to be clear that this notion of rasa is not the like emotion itself. And let me give you an example. In Romeo and Juliet, one of the big rasas there is love. And it's, you know, romantic love, but love. And the other one is tragedy, deep, deep sadness. I don't want to give a spoiler alert here, but we all know. We know the story. And when you go to the play, I remember seeing, I bawled, I was a young man, I was crying at the end of the movie that I saw, the Franco Zeffirelli one I saw years ago. But you're at Romeo and Juliet, and you're sitting there watching, and you're feeling this amazing energy of love for this love story. Now, the reality is, two actors reading a script from two people who never existed on a set that was just made up in a town that didn't, you know, was sort of a fictionalized version of some towns that exist. You know, these two actors that are, you know, having this experience of romantic love, they may not even like each other. It's a play. But if it's done right and done well, what happens is we catch the rasa of love. It is a sublime energy that exists independent of the people and the actions and the play and all this. It's an energy that is. And then there's this tragedy, you know, there's this death. And, you know, you might be in tears, but nobody really died. It's the actors. It didn't really happen. But what they did is they elicited, as best they can, as the playwrights, the actors, they elicited an energy, a rasa, this rasa of sadness. And it's beautiful. Someone goes, how was that play, Romeo and Juliet? You go, I was so sad. It was great. Right? You got to see it. I was just crying. Oh, you got to see it. Because it's not the, you know, we wouldn't want to have a tragedy like that in our personal lives necessarily. But we all get the beauty of the rasa, of this energy. And anger. Anger has that rasa too. And you say, well, I don't, you know, want to go around angry. There is a beautiful, I try to think of an art expression. I think Les Mis. You know Les Mis? And, you know, that's Jean Valjean's being chased by, how do you say his name, Joubert? Yeah. And you're just like, leave him alone, you know? There's this, it elicits this energy for justice, this energy for, that's not right. There's an injustice, and you feel it in the play. Walk out of there going, oh, you know, do you hear? You know, you're singing, and you're just all ready for justice, and there's an anger, and it's this sacred anger, and it's beautiful expression. It's beautiful in its outpicturing. So my question then for all of us is, what when we see like we're conscious of, I don't want to be triggered and be angry, not saying that, but from a place of conscious neutrality, when we see something in our field that requires a response that's spicy and just energetic and hot and fiery, and there's something we need. There is a. I'll give you three examples. Gospel of Mark, chapter 3. Jesus goes into the sacred synagogue, and there's people gathered around, and it's a Sabbath. And someone brings forward someone who has a withered hand, it said. And then there's people who look and go, well, this is our religion. There's laws. There's rules to be obeyed. And the rule is you can't do any work on the Sabbath, so no healing allowed. And it says in there that Jesus, who was a healer, looked at these people and he called upon that divine energy of anger. And it says Jesus looked at them and was angered for their hardness of hearts. And he turned and he looked at the person with the withered hand and said, stretch out your hand. And the person's hand was healed. An energy that many of us try to avoid was an energy that elicited a healing, a transformation, an uplift. Here's another example. I say this just because I like to talk about the program. I'm a part of a program called CAST. It's Coffee and Sandwiches Together. And we meet out at the library. I do it once a month, and we serve sandwiches. People make sandwiches. It's peanut butter and jelly and cheese, and we have bananas, good symbolism. Soft food, because people on the street oftentimes don't have teeth. You know, you got to give a lot of soft foods. And I look forward to it every month. And the other day, and there's all, you know, I know these people. It's been years of doing this. And I was talking to someone, and I thought about, because I was getting ready for this talk. So Thursday I was out there, and I'm like, what rasa? What rasa is being elicited from me? Like, what is it about me? What energy is calling me for? What divine energy is calling me forward? I thought, is it compassion? Do I feel sad or sorry for the people? You know, we had like 70 people came on the street to get a bag of food. And it wasn't. That wasn't the leading one for me. There was anger. It's like, in my community, really, we've got all these people? They walk away with their sandwich and they put up a tarp right over by Mount Baker Theater, which I love to go to. And we walk by, and it just, you know, sometimes I don't know what to do with it. And I got done and I sat in my car and I was just like, I feel the energy of anger about how I'm in an electric car. There's a lady who's an amputee in a wheelchair, and she's going, hey, can you help me? I got to plug in my wheelchair. And I'm like, oh, you know? And I'm just like, these energies coming up. I wouldn't say I am sad or I am angry, but I was very clear that there's a perspective I have at looking at my world, and I want to call upon that energy, that rasa, that sacred energy of anger, and say, what is mine to do? How do I go forward? How do we support in my city the next unfolding for justice, for support for people? So I say, ooh, I don't want to be angry. Yeah, we do want to. We want to call upon the rasa of anger when it's appropriate. We want to dip into that source of anger when it serves justice. when this spicy energy goes in and burns my ego, that's a good drink. Burns my personal ego and any kind of selfishness or self-centeredness, anything, that power of anger, it's you know, and in this tradition, each one gets assigned a face of the divine, you know, the face of Shiva that wants to burn away those transgressions and wants to burn away the things I can't see so I can get aligned and live a life of transformation in a higher way. Okay. I'll give you one last example, and then we'll pray. And then we'll pray for anger. See, we're going to do it. It's going to work. I did see once, I saw this piece where some people on the political front were saying, we're going to focus in my state on election safety. Because they're getting a sense of, we don't know, is there energies that are looking at the elections, and we want to be sure that everyone understands they're safe. And so they decided to get together and do, and I know this because it's something I used to do, what they call a tabletop exercise. Let's just all sit around and talk about scenarios and how do we respond. So that's what they did. And I remember thinking, for any kind of anger that I might, the focused anger is like, how do we focus what we might be angry about, whether it's my personal life, my relationships, and our community life, and our public life, and our world life, and in the environment. How do we focus in a way that is co-creative to finding an effective and a loving solution? But it's the anger, it's the spicy energy that gets us to move on it, that gets us to move forward. We want that rasa. It's holy, it's sacred, it's loving. And again, I'm going to repeat just in closing, it's not this anger. Did I get you to bite? It's not get angry. It's not, oh, I'm angry now. It's, I am. I am love. I am peace. I am whole. I am clean. I am clear. I am the one divine energy expressing. And I choose this rasa, this energy of anger, to support me in what's mine to do. You see the difference? Let's take that to prayer. If you would, just feel comfortable, close your outer eyes, and we allow ourselves to sink into that beautiful heart space, that temple of our hearts, that ashram of our soul, that very essence of our being. We sink into that place with a beautiful breath. And we allow ourselves to be open to the divine energy, the divine rasa, of sacred and transformational energy of anger. We know that in this sacred space, in this one mind, this one heart, this one isness, that all these energies are divine energies available to us, that flow through us, that are available to work beautiful, transformational, justice, loving solutions in our world, our sacred world, our beautiful world, where the divine shows up to play in this beautiful dance of consciousness. And we can bring this rasa at the right time, the right place, the right circumstance, the sacred energy of divine anger, divine liberation, divine justice, divine clarity to the situations we find in our life. There's many other rasas, but let's focus on this one, anger. Let it work to our good. Let it be an energy of the divine that we harness effectively and lovingly and beautifully and transformationally, not only for ourselves, good of our families, our communities, our city, and our world. So it is, so it is.